On today's podcast, we will cover the fourth and final part in our series about my favorite marketing automation techniques. Now, if you recall, this was one long episode that I decided to break into four parts because I was a little long-winded and I thought it might be more digestible to break it up into these parts. And this is the fourth and final episode in that series. So pay attention. I hope you enjoy it. If you haven't watched the others, go back and watch those one through three. But there's there's a lot of information and it kind of builds on itself. So make sure you've watched them all. All right, well, let's get started, and I hope you enjoy today's podcast. All right, next, tip number three, time to get to work, human. So automation, the other part of automation is to get the humans to work at the right time. So a lot of times what happens is you have, and we call this content marketing and inbound marketing and some of the strategies behind it. This is why you see free downloads all the time. They're doing that for a number of reasons. One, to get the free download, you're getting email information, you're getting contact information, you're building that profile, but you're also, you're just getting people into your database and you're getting into drip campaigns and subscribing to your blog and all that kind of stuff. So, but sometimes when they're doing that, it's too early to have a salesperson pick up the phone. It's just annoying. So if they're doing a downloaded guide, and it's something that's really, because again, go back to this funnel concept of marketing, it's a funnel and the funnel's way up here and we're kind of moving them down, all the way down the funnel. Well, if I'm starting way up here and then I start moving them down the funnel, usually the way up here in the funnel is they're researching. They're just kind of, they're looking into stuff. They're educating themselves. They're gathering information. That's all they're doing. And sometimes if you're calling them, they might happen to be more ready or along the way. Well, the thing is, if you build the funnel right and they are ready to move along the way, the automation is going to push them down the funnel to the point where you can tell that they're ready. They're going to do other things on your website. So let's say they download the guides and the other examples, but then they come back and start looking at pricing pages and things like that. Well, that's telling me they're further down the funnel, and then I can trigger things to do. But it's up here at the top of the funnel that oftentimes is where a lot of people are skeptical to do the download because they don't want to get harassed or give them any information. So, that tool works. And again, doing downloads and things like that and guides and different resources, stuff like that. We call them content offers. Having different content offers, it builds credibility to your audience as well. Cause you're not providing them a sales pitch. You're providing them information. And a lot of times the idea is here's all the information on how to do what we do. But a lot of people are like, that sounds great. I don't want to do that. I don't have the attention. I don't have the time. I don't have the expertise. I don't want to do all that because you're giving them, here's all what we do. Do you want to do it? And the answer very often is no, I don't want to do it. That download guide, it's putting them into my bucket of information gathering, but as we kind of used as the example of, if you remember the accidental investor, Alan, he came, then he went, looked at the pricing page. So we kind of thought, okay, well, he might be ready. We send him an email and enroll them in, say, a marketing drip. In this case, to tie your sales team to your marketing strategy, because we kind of like lump them in a lot, but really there's marketing and sales. And a lot of times it depends on the company and the culture of the company. A lot of times they go hand in hand. But most of the time, more times than not, the companies that we work with, and we're even guilty of it, we kind of get sometimes out of sync. They don't sync up the sales team with the marketing team really well. They treat them as separate components when they really need, in my mind, they have very separate functions, but they are of the same component because marketing and sales should go hand in hand. And we just see this a lot where the marketing team is just pushing leads the best that they can. They're getting leads in the CRM and that's all they really care. As long as their team is doing that, they're doing their job. And then the sales team is kind of just, they're disconnected from that. And they're just getting leads. They're not really, you know, they're not really targeted. They don't have a lot of information. Someone just filled out a form and now it's here. And there's been a lot of successful organizations that do that. I mean, it's not that they're not successful, but that kind of broad stroke, that big shotgun approach to marketing, a lot of times you're wasting resources and you're underutilizing your sales team, or you're sending leads to them too early. They're not ready. I mean, that's one of the biggest complaints back in some of the, one of the companies I used to own. We had a lot of leads coming in and they just weren't ready. They weren't, they were, we're just looking. So we got a lot of leads. And what happens is if that lead comes in and it's too early, you move it to a closed lost. Most companies, that closed lost just goes into a bucket. They might get an email drip at some point, like a real generic one, but they, because the lead came too early, it ended up becoming a wasted opportunity, because if the marketing team had waited to send the lead into the CRM to the sales team, if you delayed that till they were ready, then you have a chance to close the lead. But if you send it early, they're not ready. Okay, the salesperson moves it to close loss. They get into a, and if they even have a drip to close loss, a lot of times, most of the time, companies don't, that I see, that, you know, probably the ones that have sophisticated marketing departments do, but most do not. But they get put into this bucket of closed lost and there's no real sophistication behind it. That's usually what happens. And so all of a sudden I've taken a lead that was actually a good lead. It just wasn't the right time. And I've basically killed my own lead because I created the deal too early and I sent it to the sales team too early. But if the marketing sophistication is smart enough to say, all right, we're going to hold off to send this into the CRM, because the marketing team still has the contact record, but it's a deal. When the, I call them deals, because again, I use HubSpot language, but if it's over here and it's what we call a marketing qualified lead, they are qualified for me to continue to send marketing material, to cultivate the information, they're subscribed to my blog. I'm just cultivating them. We're building our profile in their mind as the expert. So they are a marketing qualified lead. But the minute that they take a step to go into a buyer's mindset, well, when they take that step, they are now a sales qualified lead. So if I'm just looking at just marketing over here, you know, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to enroll them in a marketing drip campaign specifically designed for returning accidental landlords. Well, if I am aligning my sales team, what I'm doing is I'm sending them an email. Sure. And it may not necessarily, but it's a drip, you know, let's say they're in a drip. All right, I'll keep dripping on them if they don't do anything, but I am also going to trigger a task or create a deal, and I'm going to put it in my sales team's bucket and say, contact them now. They went to the pricing page. So it's that next step. Now, if they were at the pay, you know, just a blog page, again, too early for that. They go to the pricing page. That is an indicator that they are likely going to be ready to be contacted, especially if they've done a few other things. And again, I'm not saying that that is always the case if they've just looked at the pricing page, but if they've downloaded, it's kind of like the example I gave earlier. They're doing research on, problem tenants. They're reading your blogs about evictions and how to find a good tenant. They downloaded your screening guide, and then they come to your pricing page. To me, that's the indicator that's some of those indicators. It's, you can also do lead scoring. I'm not going to get into that in this one because that's a whole nother rabbit hole, because lead scoring can be a combination of all those differently. But if, as long as it hits a certain score, it triggers the deal. But we're not going to get into that. Not going to get into that yet, because that's very sophisticated. That can be a whole nother podcast. But the idea is they hit that thing, and I've determined I've seen this pattern being in business. I know that this particular set of steps or these criteria makes it a viable deal. Now that same deal that if I sent it to them too early, it would have died and nothing ever would happen. But now that I've done it in the right timing and I sent it to my sales team, so if I just send the email, there's a decent chance, maybe I send them a text, whatever it is, there might be a decent chance they then contact us to see, okay, I might want to work with you. But then when I hand it to the sales team at the same time as well, I'm going to take a proactive step and just going to say, hey, I happen to notice that you had downloaded this guide and wanted to just reach out. Are there any questions I can ask? You know, is there any way that we can help? How can we help you? Blah, 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 whatever it is. Well, they get them on the phone and they'd be like, yeah, man, I've had these tenants for a few months. They just don't pay the rent. You know, they got three dogs they're not supposed to have in there. And I just don't know how to navigate the process. Like, well here's a few ideas and here's kind of what we do. You know, if you're interested, we'd love to work with you. If not, we'll just, you know, here's some information. That kind of sales from an education standpoint, go back and watch my podcast on selling through education. I think there's a clip called something like I Learned How to Sell by Practicing Law. There's another one called Don't Tell Them How Smart You Are, Show Them. Those kind of get, there's a few of those clips that I have on the YouTube channel. If you go back and watch some of those, I go into detail about how educating and get in all of this whole concept of educating and showing them the how and the why and all of that then leads them to the what, where they basically sell themselves on your service. They want, you know, and that's kind of what you want. You want to educate along the way to where they're like, okay, you know what you're talking about. This is out of my realm. I would rather pay you to do the management for me. So that whole idea and that whole concept becomes even more valuable. And again, it goes to this,
I've got to move something here.
It goes to this need of everything working in tandem. Again, you've got to connect your marketing and sales together, and they have to have this synergy as one team. You can't treat them as two teams. They have to be different roles in the same team. And even in our own organization, I go on old man rants. I'm the old man around here. So I go on old man rants sometimes about things that I want to change, or here's what we need to do. And one of those rants is like, and I call them rants. It's not really rants, but they're just pontification, I guess. And one of the things I kind of pontificate on is how I want to get rid of, you know, and I'll kind of usually try to do it in a little bit of a shocking way. I say, all right, I want to get rid of the sales team, or I want to get rid of the marketing team. And, you know, it'll get a little bit of attention. I'm like, well, let me rephrase. I don't want to get rid of them. I want to combine them into one. I want them to be the giant Voltron lion robot of marketing and sales. You know, so a kid of the 80s, I don't know if you remember Voltron, you know, the lions, and you have like all the five lions, then the giant robots, and, you know, the guys drive the robots and they go and they fight with the lions. And they're like, it's kind of like your sales team, you know, except there are five of them. And your sales and marketing team, one's marketing, one's sales, one's fulfillment, whatever. Well, let's just say it's marketing and sales. But by combining the forces of Voltron, you end up with the super powerful marketing and sales team. And, you know, it's the 1 + 1 = 5. That's really what you do. If you do it right, that's really the powerful, how powerful it is. And what you end up doing, you know, first you stack your marketing campaigns, and I kind of built this stack. Again, sorry if you're not watching YouTube, sorry if you're just listening, this is another slide, but basically you're building this pyramid, and you're building you start with your marketing campaigns, because your marketing campaigns are what's going to bring traffic and get people to sign up, subscribe to your blog, do things. You're getting people to your website. Your campaigns are just, you're getting them there. And that's through pay-per-click ads, through, you know, blog writing, all that. And then the dynamic lists are the next layer of the pyramid. Those dynamic lists are building my profiles of all the people coming to my website and all the people that I'm trying to target. That's what those dynamic lists are doing. So that's my next layer of the pyramid. And then my next layer above that is, I'm stacking on, is the automated timing. That automated timing is what takes the lists, and I'm basically automating communication, and I'm timing that at the right time, along using the dynamic list information to send them to the right people. I'm having different communications. Then my last component, my last stack on there, is my sales team triggered tasks. So once I've gone through and I've gone through this pyramid, my last one, you could call this an inverted funnel, but I like the pyramid because I'm building on top of each other. On the very last top is, again, that sales team triggered tasks. And that sales team triggered task, because it's sitting on top of these other three layers and it's working in tandem with these other three layers, is so much more powerful than any one of those sitting by themselves. That is the importance of stacking all of these techniques on top of each other, and why it's so important. So there are all sorts of really cool things, and we'll have podcasts on all these really cool different techniques, whether it's, you know, video marketing or, you know, whatever strategy, you know, how to teach to bring people into the sales funnel and things along that. We'll cover all sorts of those in different podcasts. But these three things, along with your efforts to drive traffic, if you set these three things on top of your marketing campaigns and your marketing efforts, it's one of the most powerful things you can do. It's really the foundation of what we do as a company. And there's, again, all sorts of other sophisticated things that can be done. So that's pretty much it. That was three marketing tips that will help your business. And I always like this last slide that I did. It's basically my cyber. Again, sorry if you're not watching on YouTube. Sorry. But I thank you, humans. Seriously, though, this is a... To me, this has been something that I've really enjoyed putting into place in terms of the presentation. It's something that we talk about all the time. I give this presentation different times, but again, I couldn't buy into it more. I mean, it's the foundation of what I think of consistency of building your business, and it is, I will go back to the biggest, all of those kind of concerns and objections and all those things. I think in our world, when we talk to somebody, it's basically, I'm in, I want to do it. What do I need to do it? Who do I call? Who do I contact? How do you know, hold the phone. Let me go, you know, and then we go through the budgeting of them and the budget of that. And, you know, we work with a lot of clients that are really big and they have a budget and they have, you know, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars that they can spend in any given month. I mean, they might spend $50,000 a month on marketing. But then we also have some that, you know, they've got to figure out how to get their $3,000 a month budget into a marketing, you know, what can they do to effectively do that? And like I said earlier, sometimes your budget is what you've decided, not what you can do and not what you should do. So if you're looking at your budget going into building out a marketing campaign and investing in software and things like that, approach it as, again, I'm a budget hawk when it comes to our business. I'm constantly looking through what software subscriptions do we not need? What are we wasting money on? Let me do some job costing on different projects to make sure that we're profitable on these projects. I am a budget hawk when it comes to that. And even though I'm a budget hawk, there are things where I look at and I have a budget in my mind, but then I go and I realize there's a tool and it's more expensive than what the budget I had in my mind. But as I've done enough research and implement, you know, and what it's going to take to implement and the fact that we can implement it and the fact that I am confident of what this investment is going to do for our company, I have to change my budget. I have to change my idea of what that particular budget is and what it, and what that particular budget is, have I allocated enough money? And there's often the case that I haven't. There are times though, whenever I go and I try to do it on the cheap first and I end up wasting more money because I have to come back and do it again. Again, I am not one to go, I am not one to spend money, casually in our business. But even in my own, I've done this. And this is one of those areas where I would say, just because it's expensive doesn't mean it's great. But at the same time, sometimes the right tool is going to be, you either need to reallocate, you either need to rethink what your budget is and what your mindset is. I usually don't have that big of an issue, again, with larger companies just because they've already kind of gone through this establishing project. You know, they have a relatively robust marketing budget. Sometimes the software piece of it is a pretty big ROI commitment for them if it's a large company, but they've already had these budgeting and planning meetings and established what those budgets are for the year, especially if they're larger companies. So if you're a smaller company, again, really look at what that investment would do and, you know, do some math behind it. What would a 20% increase in new business do for you? You know, and again, I'm not saying that that's what the number always is, but what would that do for you if you're able to set up these automations to have that boost and increase profitability? So anyway, that's it. That was great. All right. I am glad you guys stuck with us. We're going to, as I go through and cut this up, I don't even know why I'm talking about it, because we'll know whenever you're watching this. So by the time you're watching this, you'll know if I cut this up into three different episodes or one. So, all right. See you then. See you on the next episode.